Welcome to the Pop Czar Podcast. If you like what you hear, why not leave us a review or rating? Not only do we appreciate the feedback, but it helps our ranking and expands our audience. Every little bit helps.
And so it was, late in the 20th century, that a pox fell upon the land. A plague of home videos that were limited in intelligence. There was brain drain, and terminal boredom swept the countryside. The maker looked down and was not pleased by what he saw and said, "This is not good." And so it was. He brought forth Genesis, a system with twice the power, twice the intelligence, twice the challenge, twice the fun. Only a chosen few were called forth to experience this new dimension of high-definition graphics and stereo sound. And the maker saw what he had done and said, "Now that's not bad. Discover Genesis, and your world will never be the same."
And so it was, 30 years ago, August 14th, 1989, the world welcome the Sega Genesis. Sega's fourth generation 16-bit console was ready to take over the world. And 30 years later, almost to the day, minus give or take a few months, the Sega Genesis Mini launched September 19th, 2019, to make everybody alive at the time feel much, much older and old. And with that, this is the Pop Czar Podcast. 30 years on, still going strong. Well, not quite. Nathan Evans, managing editor of PopStar.com, here to talk about Sega's brand new mini, micro, whatever you want to call it, gimmicky console, the Sega Genesis Mini, heating up stores everywhere. I think you'll be surprised what we have to say, and for that, we have none other than senior games editor Corey Genesis Gallagher. Corey, welcome back.
Hey, thanks very much. I do what Nintendo don't.
Hey, don't spoil anything there, but also, on the flip side, we have the reviewing editor of the Sega Genesis Mini, Herman Ecstasy Exum. Herman, welcome.
Yikes. Hello, hello.
I can't do an X on you. I could do X band, but that doesn't really count.
So which miniature Genesis console is this now? What is this number, like? Number like 25 or 37?
Well, I'll say this. I got a couple lists here, so stop me if you've heard this. So we got the Sega Genesis Flashback HD, we got the Sega Genesis Classic, we got the Analog, and we got the AT Games Genesis. By all accounts, none are any good, but this is the umpteenth effort to bring Sega Genesis emulated action to HD screens, because, as Herman will explain to us, you simply cannot dust off that old Genesis, if it even works, or Mega Drive, what's the word I'm looking for I'll just say bicoastal. You can't just plug it into your HD TV because it won't work. You have to do a lot of trickery and gizmos and gadgets and adapters, yeah. And it's just not comfortable. You don't want to do that.
Nowadays, it's either you either buy an old CRT off of Craigslist or something like that, or in order to play, you have to invest in like another converter box of some kind. Or to make it work with your HD or 4K TV.
Corey, you are
more of a hassle.
Corey, you're a hardcore gamer who's willing to spend over $1,000 for a video card. Are you going to buy an analog TV to play Genesis?
No.
Herman would. And Herman
would. Because I already have one.
You have a CRT?
I do. I don't really use it, but I do have one for exactly this kind
what?
Of thing.
What?
So let's be real here. I mean, a lot of basically pretty much everything you can get will run on an HD TV as long as it has the right inputs. It won't look as good. It won't play as well, but I've definitely run a Genesis on my HDTV. I've definitely run a Super Nintendo on it. The thing is, the Genesis Mini just does it better. It's easier. It's faster. It looks better. It plays better.
Yeah. Well, Corey's right about one thing, though.
Only one
thing. I do peruse on Craigslist or Facebook and look for CRT TVs. Just one of those what-if moments.
So here's the one thing you need a CRT TV for, though, and that would be light guns. If you ever want to play at your gun con, you need a CRT.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. If you're going to be cruising on Craigslist looking for CRT, you better be in the right section. So, just saying.
Well, they don't have that. They don't
what
have
does that
even section.
Mean?
Well, let's just say, if you know what I mean, you know what I mean. So
Nathan's referring to a bygone era known as personal ads. They don't have those anymore.
Yeah,
young for that.
Yeah, they got rid of them. So, but anyway, but if you're still looking for action on Craigslist, you can find it with classic consoles, but you don't need to slum it on Craigslist because you can slum it at Walmart or Best Buy or Target or Amazon or anywhere else, because this Sega Genesis Mini is available everywhere. which is pretty cool. And I think it's a sign of the times that these retro emulated console monsters have got a type of acceptance I don't think we would have seen a few years ago, when you'd have to troll Bed Bath & Beyond right next to the shower aisle in between the pillows to buy some crappy whatever. Those systems we mentioned, they're all crap. They don't work really well. And that's what you find at Bed Bath & Beyond. So, Herman, real quick, take us back. So what is the Genesis Mini in a nutshell?
It's basically a Genesis model. Well, it's modeled after the Model 1. But, you know, it has a pre-selected number of games on there, 42 to be exact. And for the most part, it's mostly a winner. They've done... By the way, I haven't been really a fan of these micro consoles. I've been very vocal about that in private conversations, but I will say that the Genesis Mini is my favorite. I mean, it does the essentials so well, whether it's about the games or the aesthetics or functionality. I do like it quite a bit, and it also helps that it's less than $100.
Yeah, it's significant. It's almost 25% less than 100. And I'll say this.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to bring up, unlike Nintendo, I don't see limited availability either. That also helps quite a bit.
You don't see artificial limitation of the console to hype up demand?
Yeah, that's one reason I didn't like these miniature consoles. It would just force the market into overinflated prices secondhand or whatever for collectibles and nostalgia freaks.
Hey, hand on heart, full disclosure, Herman and I have been party to that process of trying to resell Nintendo consoles with no luck. So,
oh, you monster.
Yeah, but that's after
the
fact.
Hey,
that's
just
after
a witness. I didn't participate. I didn't actively participate.
Hey, you know, it was the recession. You know, we got to do what we got to do. So, but anyway, going forward, so, Corey, you are a fan of these micro consoles up to a point. We've talked about this. You're actually,
that's right.
You're a big fan of the NES and the SNES Mini. And for those who don't know, Corey and I do a monthly feature on this podcast. We look at the NPD numbers, which is the National Purchase Diary, courtesy of our good friend Matt Piscatella. And on one of those episodes with Matt, we talked about these mini consoles and whether they count as consoles or not. I disagree with Matt. Matt thinks they do. I don't think they do. I think they're something else. Herman, I think the word you used was did you use the word niche or gimmick? Or what did you say?
No, I haven't used those words yet, but those are words I would use. I would use niche and gimmick, kind of chintzy, you know. They appeal to a certain group or groups of people.
Now, let's just say this out of the way before we get into the fun stuff, the games. For those who don't know, the Genesis Mini is not a Sega Genesis player. It is a completely new piece of hardware, very similar to what you would find in a Raspberry Pi, that's been squeezed into, like Herman mentioned, a miniature Model 1 Genesis enclosure that faithfully replicates a lot of the facial buttons and doohickeys, although none of it works, except the power and reset button. So you cannot plug your cartridges into the Genesis Mini. You can try, but you will destroy the Genesis Mini in the process. They won't fit. It's too small.
And the cartridges. And the cartridges, if you try hard enough.
Well, yeah.
But you know, that brings up another point that you made before the podcast. I'm sure you've read some reviews on other publications. And they have the photos and videos, and you notice that they have little mock accessories like cartridges that they put them in there.
They look really nice, really cute.
It is really nice, but I think you should bring this up. What didn't you like about that in particular, Nathan?
Well, I think you're referring to our good buddies. They are good buddies. They don't know it yet, but they are good buddies at Digital Foundry, who usually do a pretty good job with this. But
actually, that's only one. There are other publications that have done that mock up too.
But they got name recognition.
Well, that's the first one you brought up. But there are others like TechRadar and
Okay.
Polygon, you also have the mock-ups too.
Let's do
that's
a
one of the benefits of being a part of the press, gaming press. You get little goodies like that.
You do get goodies that are completely worthless in the pursuit of a review, and in some cases misleading. So if you were to see a mock-up or a video, again, I'll say it again, Digital Foundry has an otherwise pretty decent review of the Genesis Mini, but one of the glaring mistakes is they show the reviewer putting a cartridge into the Genesis Mini. If you weren't paying attention, which if you're watching YouTube is likely, then you would think, hey, this thing can play my cartridges, right? Looks authentic, looks legit. It can't. It was a mock-up. It was a, what do they call them? Dummy units, right? From old retail units. It looks adorable, it's cute, but it's not functioning. So you can't do it. So
I don't think those were dummy units. I think like little model cartridge accessories came with media press kits, and that's how they're able to get them.
But the cartridge was a dummy. I mean, it's not a real cartridge.
Yeah, the cartridge is a dummy, but
yeah.
Oh, you get those little toys and stuff like that.
But I'll tell you what, I want those dummies so bad. I want those cartridges.
He put
Shinobi 3 in there.
Well, if you're willing to spend about 200 more percent,
I don't want those cartridges anymore.
You can't get them online. Didn't you know Japan has little accessories for the Mega CD and the 32X and a Sonic & Knuckles thing.
Yeah, you were saying that. You can get fake Sega CD and fake 32X and fake cartridges for your somewhat fake Genesis Mini. It's a you and I talked about this. Basically, it's the Genesis version of the Barbie Dreamhouse.
Yeah.
Like, it all looks kind of real. It just doesn't work.
I call them accessories. I call them accessories, and we had a little bit of a back and forth about that. What is an accessory versus what is peripheral?
Yeah, well, the accessories, but here's the thing. They don't work. They're not real.
I know.
They're fake.
And that's where my argument comes in. Accessories tend to not be functional while peripherals are.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's get Corey on this, because, Corey, I have a question for you from gaming's past. So
sure.
You are, like Herman, a connoisseur of older stuff. Forgive me if I'm wrong for remembering this, but were you a big Genesis fan back in the 90s, or was it before, or just didn't interest you?
So I liked the Genesis, but I was definitely a Nintendo kid.
You took sides. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. This is
West Side Story. Back in the day, you had to, though. When you were young, you had to pick one.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Well, more likely your parents had to pick one for you.
Can we... Mm-hmm. So let's give the listener some context. Chances are, if you are going to pick up a Genesis Mini, you are probably of one of two groups. One, you are older. You have nostalgia built in. You want an easy, quick way to either play the Genesis games again, or to introduce the games to your children or grandchildren. I mean, we're talking 30 years. Anything could happen. Or you are a nostalgia nerd, and you really like collecting everything, and you really want this approximation of Genesis. But I think it's fair to the public if we play a commercial that begat not only this rivalry between Nintendo and Sega, but the entire video game wars in general. This whole nonsense. I know, Corey, you rail against this BS all the time. And so let's go back in time with probably one of the most famous video game commercials of all time. Here we go.
Genesis Dutch.
16-bit arcade graphics.
You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis Dutch.
16-bit sports action.
You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis
Dutch.
Genesis
Dutch.
Genesis
Dutch.
Genesis
Dutch.
Genesis Dutch.
Get Joe Montana free, Pat Riley free, Buster Douglas free, Super Monaco GP free, or Collins free. Nintendo.
All those free games. Damn, free. Real free, too, not like network free. But what they don't tell you is that you get one of those games free. You don't get them all. You get to pick. And if the game you want wasn't in, they give you what they choose.
Screw. So what you're saying is that no matter what happens in life, nothing really changes?
Nope. No microtransactions, though. Although they do.
Or DRM.
Or DRM. Although, no, that's not true. That's not true. You are wrong. You mentioned that the Genesis Mini is based off the Model 1. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is important because, for those who don't know, future iterations of Genesis broke compatibility because Sega, like Nintendo, did institute lockout technology. Games had to be licensed. There were games, big, they came in giant, thick cartridges with yellow tips that would not play on certain models of the Genesis. They were locked out from eternity. No fun.
Well, I assume you're referring to mostly Electronic Arts games, like EA games.
Good old EA.
If I remember correctly, yeah. EA games like utilize those yellow tip cartridges.
There was a time, gather around a little, there was a time when console makers would not want EA games on their consoles. And yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. Before Madden came over and just took over everything. Corey, you spent the weekend with the Genesis Spinny as determined. So, real quick, so what is your overall view compared to the Nintendo consoles? What do you think about it?
I'm going to tell you what I told Herman before the podcast. I like it. It's a solid purchase. You're going to enjoy it, especially if you get that six-button controller with it. Mostly because the cord is longer. If you use the default controllers, the cords are too short. It's a pain in the butt. But I am more excited for when we finally see a jailbreak mod for the Genesis Mini. You can put whatever games you want on it. It's very exciting.
That usually is part of the parcel, isn't it? Like when
it happens very quickly too. I guarantee, like within October, it happened.
Not today.
Yeah, if it probably did happen today. Probably happened the weekend it came out.
The minute. So it's the company that helped make it was M2, and M2 is a company that's well known for their emulation projects and everything. So I assume a lot of the tools available to do this are probably flowing online as we speak. If you do it and you break your Genesis Mini, we didn't tell you to do it. We're just saying it's an option to do it at your own risk.
I mean, we're not talking about a PlayStation Classic here. This is the Genesis Mini is something that's actually good.
Yeah.
That you may not want to touch it or mod it. You may like it as it is right now.
And before we wrap up, we will get into the games, but we need to bring up the PlayStation Classic. So, and the reason is, and this is the question for both of you. Corey, you really like the Nintendo Classics. A lot of people do. Herman, despite what you say, I know you like them. You probably don't love them, but I know you like them. But I think we can all agree. I think we can all agree that the PlayStation Classic is garbage, or was garbage.
Yeah.
Whatever state it's in right now.
I have criticisms for the Nintendo Classic consoles, largely because the collection of games and things on there. We've seen them all before. They're not rare. They're not unique at this point. But I mean, they're still good games, but the PlayStation Classic it's a worst result of just soulless robotic marketing come into a miniaturized console form.
Now, we've already talked about a few bad Genesis console versions, and Lord knows you can go to Walmart right now and find versions of Donkey Kong and Bad Dudes that will make you cry. But
yeah.
But I will say this, and this, again, a question for Corey and Herman. Do you like the Genesis Mini more because it's better than the PlayStation Classic, or do you think it's just a better product overall? What do you think, Corey?
You know, it's hard to say, really. I kind of enjoy them both, at least so far. I mean, I need to spend more time with Genesis Mini to really make any sweeping decisions like that.
You enjoy the PlayStation Classic as well?
Oh, yeah, I love that thing. It's great.
You don't have a regular one.
See,
you've
can't tell for being sarcastic.
I'm being very sarcastic. No.
But it comes down to this. It's like the Genesis was an interesting thing because it's one of the, and Herman, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's one of the last consoles that had an identity. And for those who don't know this, for those who keep harping about PCs taking over the world and Google Stadia, console-less boxes, what do they call Opsley boxes?
Does anybody harp about that stuff?
They do. Yeah, they harp about everything. But
yeah, I haven't heard too much harping about it. Maybe on Reddit, but
no, the idea
really count that.
No, we always see the idea that consoles are obsolete. Why would anybody need a console? Corey, you do this a little. You know, you're part of the PC master race a little bit, and you know, if you watch the commercial for Google Stadia, they actually insult consoles. They call them obsolete boxes and everything. But here's the problem, though. With a console, yeah, you get limitations on everything. It's not as flexible. You have to go through a lot of ringers. It's not as easy for the most part. But isn't there something iconic about having something like the Genesis or the Super Nintendo? And it represents something. Not just a time, but
yeah,
it represents an ideal.
But trying to compare a console that originally came out in the late 80s, early 90s versus today. Today is a lot different from 20, 30 years ago. I mean, you really didn't have much choice in the way of gaming options versus now.
But what I'm talking about is an identity. The way dedicated hardware would have an identity. And the closest comparison I would make would be like the Switch or the PlayStation 4 versus PC. They can both play the same game or relatively play the same game. But isn't it more than just being able to play exclusives? And I know, again, going back to what we talk about, Corey, with Matt, he makes a big stink about this on Twitter all the time, about the importance of exclusive games. Yeah, if you get a Switch, you can play Mario, you can play Zelda, you can play whatever. And you can't, you know, legally play them on a PC, let's just say. But on a PC, you can play everything else. But my question is, what is it about consoles like the NES and the Super Nintendo and Genesis and the upcoming TurboGrafx Mini that makes them so desirable to be miniaturized and put in your collection? What is it about that?
Honestly, it's, I think a big part of it back in the day with the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo Mini was the fact that they were rare. Like, the fact that it was hard to find one. If they were just novelty items that you could pick up whenever you wanted and it wasn't really an issue, that'd be one thing. But because you had to bust your butt to find one, something else entirely.
That's true. Yeah. There's a lot of work involved.
And I'm going to reveal a little bit of my history with the Genesis while I do this. The Genesis was the second game console I ever had. Like late 92, early 93, so right when it was at its peak. And going back to being a kid and debating at the lunchroom table, like, it was rare that you could that you had both systems at the same time. Either your parents were really well off or you're just a lucky SOB. And yeah, attitude and personality had a lot to do with it, like the selection of games. Like, Super Nintendo was known as the kiddie system, the more soft core. Well, Genesis was more hardcore. It's just either you had a Genesis or you were a...
Poser?
Exactly.
a very family-appropriate word for this podcast.
But I mean, like, yeah, I do agree with you, Nathan. I don't think most modern consoles or platforms have a personality.
Well,
largely due to what Corey was saying about availability and rarity. When I was growing up, half the games on the Genesis Mini were not available at my store. Keep in mind, where I live, we did not have an electronics boutique or a Funko Land. All we had was Kmart and Walmart, and that was it, and their selection was small.
Well, you know, it's funny. With the Genesis and the Super Nintendo or whatever came before or after, I can tell you, as someone who was there, it was the first time you had to choose, really. Not only because there were certain games that were available on the Genesis or Super Nintendo for legal reasons, but the idea is that, like you said, it represented who you were. And for example, Mortal Kombat. Let's just go to it. A game that is not on the Genesis Mini.
Which, you know, after thinking about it, it probably should have been, based on its significance in the gaming industry.
It's an iconic game associated very much with the Genesis. But
exactly.
But I'll say this, though. The Super Nintendo had better graphics, had better sound, better everything, but the Genesis had blood. Didn't have any of that other stuff, but it had blood. So
that's a pretty big deal. We're talking about the Mini, too, because it comes around to one of the things I was going to say about the Mini, which is that it's missing some games.
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about that.
Missing the most important game on the Genesis, actually.
Which is that?
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, pretty. It's
the most important game on the Genesis is Mortal Kombat.
I would argue that is among the top three. I would say Sonic the Hedgehog 1 being another. And Mortal Kombat, and what would you say another one was that is essential to the Genesis?
Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Together? Lock-on?
It has to be together, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
it's also not on the Genesis.
You know what? I think one reason is that I think they would have too many Sonic games, and another would be...
There's no such thing as too many Sonic games.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, there's already three Sonic games on the Genesis Mini right now. And the second reason, we talked about this, Nathan, is probably more obvious, legal issues.
Yeah, I do want to get
into the music of Sonic 3.
I do want to get into that. I assume, Corey, that the reason there's no Mortal Kombat is because there is a competing Mortal Kombat arcade board right now for sale at Walmart.
Also, I mean, they give you Eternal Champions, which is like a crappy knockoff Mortal Kombat, but it's not the same.
That is like going to McDonald's and asking for a burger, and they give you an old salad.
Incidentally, if you have that six-button controller, it's one of the few games that really takes advantage of it.
Let's just come out and say this. If you buy the Sega Genesis Mini, buy the six-button controller. Buy two of them. They're not that expensive. They're worlds better than what comes with the Genesis Mini.
Well, that brings up a criticism I have with the packaging, at least for North American, European market. The Japanese version, they gave you two of those six-button controllers out of the box, but... Meanwhile, we have to buy them separately. I think that's a mistake. Not a glaring one, since the six button controllers themselves are so cheap, but still one worth mentioning.
To be fair, and this is devil's advocate, there are only two games that use the six button controller on the Genesis Mini: Street Fighter II Special Champion Edition and Eternal Champions. Only one of which you actually want to play. Street Fighter II is impossible to play with a three button controller. So, but is it worth it? I say get the Sega 6-button controller for two reasons. Well, for three reasons. One, the D-pad's better. Two, it's more comfortable. And it's got that mode button built in, so you don't have to hold the start button to get to the the mini menus. So let's talk about games real quick, because we always talk about hardware. Let's talk about games. Let's talk about the games that are not on there, and then we'll end this on a high note about the games that are on there and what we think of them. So, real quick, Corey, we'll start with you. Besides Mortal Kombat being snafu, any other noticeable omissions that you saw that you thought, for whatever reason, should have been on
there? I was waiting for this question, because I got a lot of them.
Let's go.
Where's Aladdin? Where's Sonic 3 and Knuckles? Where's Sonic 3 by itself? Where is Sonic and Knuckles by itself? Where are the first three Phantasy Star games? Where is Crusader of Senti? Where is Vector Man 2? Where is, X-Men? I don't think X-Men? No, X-Men is pretty good. It should be on there. Let's see what else. I mean, it's got Gunstar Heroes. I can't complain about that.
You're like a
Alien Soldier. Where's Alien Soldier?
What about, you like Jurassic Park, don't you? Was that you?
No, I think that was me.
That was you.
I like Jurassic Park. Yeah, speaking of which, if you're done with your list, Corey, I'm gonna give a quick shout.
I can keep going, but I think you should have a turn.
Okay.
Why does it have all those things that I want that it doesn't have?
Yeah, why not?
It's true.
But I will say that Aladdin, Mickey Mania for me, and there was a complaint about not enough Konami games. It would be nice to have a Rocket Knight Adventures on there.
That's a good one. That's a real good one.
And I would like to see Virtua Fighter 2 replace with Virtua Racing. I think that would have been a better game, in my opinion, to have.
Is MotoGP on there? Super MotoGP?
No.
That's a pretty good game. I'll say this. I think almost all the omissions can probably be explained away with licensing. They just announced they will be remastering Aladdin and Cool Spot, Lion King.
I saw that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, not Cool Spot. I'm sorry. Those are Dave Perry games. They will be remastering Aladdin and Lion King. That's probably why they're not on there. Sonic the Hedgehog 3, sadly, my contender for the best Sonic the Hedgehog game of all time. There's a lot of legal snafus with the music. And if you've seen how that game has been ported lately, you probably don't want a crappy port of that game on the Genesis Mini, because they've butchered it in other iterations.
I forgot about Moonwalker, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, which is probably related to Sonic.
Do you need to ask why that? Moonwalker's not on here.
I don't need an explanation. I've gotten there's millions of YouTube videos explaining why this and that about that game and Sonic 3 soundtrack. But yeah, you know,
Herman, it has nothing to do with the soundtrack.
I'm just saying
it's a good game though.
It's related to Michael Jackson, so I know the history behind it.
Can we just say this?
If you would have let me finish.
The history of the Genesis is very much tied with Michael Jackson. They can try to run away from it, but it's there. He's part of the Genesis history. Get it? History? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
But look, we could go on and on about what games should have been in there, but for the most part, I think the selection is pretty good. Keep in mind, I've played about maybe 26, 27 of those titles. Mainly the ones I haven't played are the RPGs, because at that time, like, that genre was pretty niche compared to today.
You know what's funny is Corey brought up Phantasy Star. Phantasy Star was a big 'em. It was a big get for the Genesis, especially Phantasy Star 2.
Yeah.
And Phantasy Star 4, of course, is on here. Now, for those who complain and gripe about games today, Phantasy Star 4 came out on the Sega Genesis, what, 95? It was $100 on the Genesis brand new. $100. And for that, you got a crappy cardboard case with a Xerox instruction manual. $100. You got
to
put your pinky.
And to be fair, Phantasy Star 4 is the best one, but it should have had at least like Phantasy Star 2 is a classic. Should have had that at least.
But I imagine that most people who were exposed to Phantasy Star, that exposure didn't come until the Dreamcast with Phantasy Star Online. Let's be honest here. That's probably when most people knew what Phantasy Star was.
That, as a brand name, yeah, but as a game, they really didn't have anything to do with each other. That's the problem. Like, Phantasy Star 4 would be more in line with, like, traditional Final Fantasy games. You know, the top-down JRPGs. And to be honest with you, some of them were more clever. Especially Phantasy Star... Was it Phantasy Star 2 or 3 that had the generations? where you can build a family and you can go on. It was pretty cool. It was very long and sloggy, and I didn't like it very much. But for people who did like it, they liked it. Makes sense. I don't really have a lot of complaints because, like you said, Corey, I could be here all day. But one omission to me, sadly, I can explain. I would have liked to see Revenge of Shinobi. I mean, Shinobi 3 is the best Shinobi, but Revenge of Shinobi is pretty good. Shadow Dancer is pretty good, too. And I would have liked to see Flashback, because I can promise you Flashback was a marquee Genesis game back in the day that was bragged about heavily, heavily, and showed off the Genesis hardware. And it's gone. It's not here. It's not here.
Well, it will be forever in your heart.
And emulators.
So, yeah.
But by the way, the
I didn't want to say. I didn't want to say it.
Well, you know, it's like when you watch those Digital Foundry things. Where are they getting all this stuff? It's not all legit. But
we were all thinking it.
Revenge of Shinobi, by the way, a Genesis one. Was it a launch game? It's probably a launch game, right?
Revenge
is Shinobi 2. Two of the bosses on that game were the Terminator and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's probably why it's not on the Genesis Mini right now. So, okay, let's talk.
Everything is about licensing.
Oh, and I agree with you, Herman. I would have liked to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Hyperstone Heist, and Sunset Riders because they were excellent on the Genesis.
Yeah, I forgot about Sunset Riders. I played that in the arcade and on the SNES, but not on Genesis. But yeah, my pick for more Konami games would be Rocket Knight Adventures.
Oh, and one more, Tiny Toons Adventure, the Halloween one, the Genesis version of the best one. So yeah. Again, we could be here all day. We could be here all day with all this stuff. And but last but not least, swap out Street Fighter Special Champion Edition for Super Street Fighter 2. It's the better game in every way. But
yeah, but as you were telling me and things like that with Street Fighter 2 Championship, they introduced that 6-button controller. I think.
Yeah, I know. I'm just
it probably left it in because of that significance.
I could have gone without history and gone for the better game, but
I do agree on that. But you know,
okay,
what are you gonna do?
Well, what we're gonna do is talk about our favorite games and then wrap this up. So real quick, so Corey, let's start with you because you are the senior games editor. So, what games did you enjoy most of all, and why?
Like I said, Phantasy Star 4 is a classic. Like, if you pick up the Genesis Mini for one reason, that's probably it. It's a real solid game. It holds up even today. It's fantastic. Other ones that I enjoyed, the original Vector Man is pretty good. Toe Jam and Earl is good. You can't go wrong with Sonic 2. I think Sonic 1's a bit rough, but Sonic 2 is one of the classics. Those are my big ones, really. Like I said, I was a Nintendo kid, so I don't have quite as many of these memories. Oh, Landstalker. Landstalker was one that I loved as a kid. I'm glad it's here. Shocked that it's here. I would have swore they would have forgotten this one, but nah, here it is. It's pretty good. As a big Mega Man fan, being able to play all three of them remastered with the Wily Wars is great too. That's a rare game too, so it's nice that you can actually get that one.
You know,
Corey, keep in mind with the Mega Man Wily Wars, that didn't get a physical release in North America. That was
a Sega Channel.
Well, it was available in North America, but you had to have the Sega Channel subscription.
And I don't think many people did. I mean, that's the kind of thing I would have signed up for instantly back in the day. But
just some 101 for people confused about how there could be a Mega Man game on the Sega Genesis and it passing them by.
Yeah, it's. But think about that. You could actually download a game on the Genesis using your cable box in a cartridge. What a weird time, boy, before the internet. So okay, so you're not a big Genesis fan, but you had a lot of fun with it. A lot of stuff to recommend.
Yeah. No, it's a great time. I had more like nostalgia and childhood connections with the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo Minis, but again, getting to play Landstalker again, Phantasy Star 4 and such, that's real good for me. I like it a lot.
Bridging the gap between generational divides. Herman,
yep.
Your favorites.
Okay, obviously Sonic 2, you got to have that. Both Mickey Mouse games, Castle of Illusion and World of Illusion. I'm more familiar with World of Illusion, but I did play Castle of Illusion around that time too, and Streets of Rage 2, and I do like Vector Man. I missed out on it because of Donkey Kong Country. Around that time, I was already transitioning into a Nintendo Land.
I had to Sophie's Choice between Donkey Kong and Vector Man.
Joking, and emotional emotional dramatization aside, yeah, you did have to choose as a kid, and yeah. I am glad I did get to play it fully in Comic Zone. That's still hard as hell. And of course, probably your favorite, Gunstar Heroes, one of your favorites.
Oh, Gunstar Heroes is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. You can't have a Genesis mini console without that. Whether you know of the company Treasure or not.
You could have it. It wouldn't
it's
be a
essential.
It wouldn't be as good, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, but thanks to gaming lore, it's a gem at this point.
It's a gem. It's nice that they also put the rival game, Contra Hardcore, on there as well, which is a vastly inferior game in pretty much every way you can imagine. And just not fun. Sorry, Contra Hardcore is not a fun game. It's a masochistic game, but it's not fun. So it is. Whenever I hear people talk about Dark Souls being hard, I think, do you feed yourself? like Dark Souls is not a hard game. Contra Hardcore is a hard game.
I'm assuming that Contra and obviously Gunstar Heroes are two of your favorites. But to make it quick, any for you, Nate?
No, Contra is not one of my favorites. I think Contra
you talk about it so much.
I talk about it as a cautionary tale. It is, although I will say this, I spent more time playing Contra Hardcore on the Genesis Mini than I did any other game, mostly out of spite. So I'll say this, though. Speaking of Castlevania, in no particular order, because I probably have more experience than either of you with the Genesis, just because I'm older. But I'll say this. Castlevania Bloodlines is one of the best Castlevania games, and it is very hard to get on non-Genesis hardware. The only time you saw it was in that Castlevania anthology. So it's very nice.
I had one weekend with that game for rental, and it beat my ass. I tried to go back to it. I got a little bit further.
You can.
I appreciate it.
You can beat it in like 30 minutes if you know what to do. It's not hard. It's not hard now, but at the time it was really difficult.
Oh yeah.
A really great game. Really great game. Holds up really well. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, a.k.a. Puyo Puyo, is always a lot of fun, although I just love the name because it's just alliterative. Like, it's a lot of fun to say. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine is a lot more fun to say than Puyo Puyo.
You know, I do appreciate the, you can change the region on the Genesis Mini.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that, but I'll leave that to you before we get going.
Yeah.
Castle of Illusion is one of the best Genesis games ever made, much better than World of Illusion, although you could see where they're going for it.
And I prefer World of Illusion.
You prefer Lightning Force over Thunder Force 3, but you're wrong about that, too.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I call it Thunder Force 4.
Lightning Force. And so Thunder Force 3 is, in my opinion, one of, if not the greatest side-scrolling shooting games of all time. I actually spent a lot of time with it last night. I've been sick, so I was on a lot of drugs, and the game is better on drugs than it was when I was a kid. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
the soundtrack is outstanding. My goodness.
You're not telling us anything new. Almost everything is better on drugs.
Yeah, but shooting games are much better on drugs. It's so much fun to play a game where bullet hell is not going to ruin your fun. So, like Corey said, Landstalker, a lot of good memories. I don't know if I want to revisit it, though. I think if you like Landstalker, you can go play Oceanhorn on iOS, and you probably like that. Ghouls and Ghosts is not as good as Super Ghouls and Ghosts, so I can't give it a thing. Golden Axe is outstanding. Golden Axe is a treasure. I love it.
Nate, did you know... I got to throw this out there. It just struck me. Did you know that Landstalker had a sequel on the Dreamcast?
I know what he's talking about.
I know what you're talking about, too, and it was not... Was it a sequel, though?
It was kind of a sequel. It was definitely related.
It was in America. Did it come out to Japanese Saturns, though?
I don't know if it did. I'm talking about the Dreamcast game, Time Stalkers.
Was Time Stalkers a sequel? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Probably a reason.
Yeah, it's made by the same company.
It had the main character from Landstalker in it.
Yeah, at the very least, it's a spiritual successor.
Well, what's kind of funny is that another game on the Genesis Mini, of course, is, what's it called? Beyond Oasis, which is interesting because Beyond Oasis, for those people who don't know, was, I believe, the first and only game made by composer Yuzo Koshiro, who is readily associated with the Genesis. He made the soundtracks for Streets of Rage. By the way, did you know he made the soundtrack for the Genesis Mini? The title music, the theme music.
You told me, but it makes sense.
Isn't that fun?
They want to keep this nice and nostalgic as possible,
in a
good way.
And he will be returning, by the way, to help make the soundtrack for Streets of Rage 4. Real quick. So other games, I got one more thing. Look, I could be here all night, but I want to end my favorite game on the Genesis Mini. Herman, you know what I'm going to say? Gunstar Heroes.
Yeah.
Gunstar Heroes is not just a Genesis game that is outstanding. It's not only the best Contra game ever made in. Even though it's not Contra, I implore everybody to go look up the history of Gunstar Heroes. The you can enjoy the Sega Genesis more if you know the history of this game and why the creation of this game gave new life to the Genesis hardware and should serve as an example for all people making games today, all hardware, that hardware power alone is not enough. And sometimes if you squeeze that crap to the rind, you can make magic out of old, depleted orange peels. Trust me, it's a weird metaphor, but it makes perfect sense when you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Herman, you got one last thing to say about the Genesis Mini regarding...
Oh, the region changing. Yeah. I do appreciate that. It's one of those things that you don't think of until they actually put it in. And this is one of the reasons why I prefer the Genesis Mini over the Nintendo Classics and obviously the PlayStation Classic. It's just nice to be able to experience different endings and things like that, different types of gameplay and challenges, solely based on what region the game was in.
Well,
you don't get that with any other miniature console, I believe.
In one particular case, Contra Hardcore, your favorite game in the world, you change that to PAL version, and the game becomes Probotector with all new characters and everything. So
yeah, things change, and that's awesome. And another thing too is games that didn't come over here in the first place, like Monster World 4, I guess, aka Wonder Boy 4, in this case, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things where things were named differently, but yeah, it's
yeah. Well, that I don't think that got a North American release, so I think it's the first time it's officially made its way stateside, actually.
Yeah, and Tetris is there as well, a version you've never played because it never really existed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff, and I think we can all agree, all three of us, that the Genesis Mini offers quite a bit of value. Not the most Genesis games, doesn't play the cartridges, but what it does well. The presentation is pretty kick-ass for the most part. The game selection, you could always find something to fault, but there's a lot to love. And there was love put in this thing, and there's a few control issues, and there's a few compatibility issues that Herman will talk about in his review, but nothing that should dissuade you from getting one if you really wanted to. And with that, I think it's time to close up. And I've been waiting all show for this because you've been listening to the Pop Zara podcast. We have been talking about the Sega Genesis Mini. It's out now. It's $80. There's a lot of games on it. You'll probably like at least 10 of them. That's a good value. And you can play them on your TV. You don't have to emulate them. That's even better value. I want to thank my colleagues, Corey, thank you very much. Herman, thank you as well. And we will see everybody. Now, Corey, this is what we've been waiting all year for. We will see everybody
on the next level.
And that's appropriate. That's appropriate. But with that, bye-bye.
Bye.
Sega!
You've been listening to the PopZara podcast. For more quality original content, check out PopZara.com for the latest reviews and previews in gaming, movies, tech, and more.